welcome to A Drummer's Guide To, the podcast all about the skills that it takes to be a professional musician, aside from actually playing your instrument. My name is Emily Dolan-Davis. I am a drummer by trade, and I started recording this episode, got 22 minutes in, and then realised that my camera had frozen, so that's fun. So I was more than halfway through the episode, and then, yes, so we're back to the beginning. Duh! These things happen. It's fine. So today I'm going to talk again, even though you didn't hear the first version of this, about creativity and what it means to me and my journey with it. Because to me, when I was younger, in fact, until very, very recently, I thought creativity was for everyone else. I thought it was this elusive, ethereal thing that, you know, I was not a creative person. I was just someone that played an instrument, that did a job, that was informed by other creative people and whatever they created in their magical world, you know, from the universe and the energy and whatever they're feeling, and I'm just here going, and I'll play drums to your creative wonderfulness. And again, this is how I felt for so long. And to me, creativity was this vast kind of thing. To be honest, it still is. It's still very intangible. I still have a bit of a broad definition of it. However, I've realised what creativity is for me. And I wanted to share that with you because I'm hoping that it might resonate with you in some ways and also maybe redefine what creativity could be for you. Because I've certainly redefined it in my own world, definitely, and it's freed me. It's freed me from constricting what I think about myself, what I'm capable of, what, you know, just who I am, basically, which I think is a good thing. I think anything that sort of challenges those kinds of limiting beliefs is nothing but a good thing. So there we go. So to me, my new definition of creativity is not this massive, you know, ethereal thing from the gods. It's not that. Creativity is me connecting with myself, with my thoughts, with my feelings, with my experiences, and then expressing them in some sort of way, basically. And the thing, again, that I think was holding me back from leaning into being a creative person, or more accurately, realizing that actually I am a creative person, was that it seemed such a broad spectrum of things that I felt overwhelmed by it. And overwhelm is a general feeling that I get a lot. But what I also realized about myself is that actually, if I can put parameters on my creative experience or cultivating creativity in myself, it makes me really lean into it and interesting things happen. And I'll tell you how I realized this, right? So just over a year ago, and I can't remember exactly when, and I wish that I'd recorded this first session so that I could really truly see how much I've come on, because I know that I have, and I would have a date in my mind, but I think it was April 2022. I'm just gonna guess. I think it was around about then, where I made a conscious decision to tackle something that I have been terrified of the whole of my drumming life. And that was this idea of doing a drum solo or improvising or playing with no agenda and nothing to inform what I should be playing. That to me was just the scariest thing on planet Earth. Honestly, it just, my idea of hell was sitting in a room with any number of musicians, from two musicians to 20,000 musicians, and someone going, play something. That's hell. That's still pretty hellish to me. I think I'd be able to handle it a little bit better, but honestly, scariest thing ever. And when something scares me, I don't like it. And instead of running away, which is what I have done in the past, I made a vow to myself about five years ago, to face those fears. It's horrible. I love it. I've become very sadistic with myself consequently, and I've grown a ton since I decided to start doing this. But anyway, what I decided was to tackle this idea of kind of improvising and essentially being creative on the drums. So I gave myself a task. I gave myself parameters, and those parameters were just to play for 30 minutes a day, just to sit down and let whatever happens happen. Just let the subconscious flow free. Just be free and just play and see what happens. 30 minutes a day. And I got this idea from, I think it was Neil Gaiman, I'm almost certain, who spoke about when he goes to write. He writes every day. I think he has a shed in his garden, I think. I don't know, maybe I made this up in my head as a kind of visual. But and he will just go, he will sit in front of the blank page and he will write. Now, if that day he doesn't feel like writing, he won't. He will just sit and stare at the blank page for 30 minutes, and if nothing happens, then nothing happens. And I thought that that was a really interesting way of doing it. So rather than having a goal of, say, writing, I don't know in fact, it doesn't matter, writing 10 pages. I don't know whether that's realistic in 30 minutes, but it's irrelevant. So rather than that, which is usually the way that I've gone about things in the past, you know, because I have a set amount of things that I need to do, you know, a certain number of songs that I need to learn. So, okay, well, today I will chart 10 songs, and then tomorrow another 10, and the next day another 10, and then I'll go on to playing them. And, you know, there's kind of like, there's numbers to hit. But when it comes to creativity, it's like, there's nothing. That's not the point. So the point is the time. So I just thought, okay, well, this is interesting. Let's think about this. Now, another element I know about myself is that if I'm doing something just for myself, it's very easy for me to not do it, and it comes from a place of low self-worth, has done for a long time, arguably the majority of my life, but I know this about myself, and therefore I can kind of leverage that. So I decided, right, okay, I know that that's going to come up. I know that this creative time that I'm going to carve out for myself, if things don't flow and if I'm feeling bad about myself, then I'm just going to go, I'm not a creative person, let's move on, let's stop doing this. But I knew that I didn't want to do that. I knew that I should be just pushing through those moments, because I am, and I want to be more of a creative person. But more than that, I want to reconnect. I want to reconnect with myself. I want to reconnect with my instrument every day. And I know that that's going to be a process, and I need to be patient, and I'm terrible at being patient. So again, another parameter that I put in with myself was to live stream it. And therefore I knew that, you know, people would expect me to be there every day. So there was an element of accountability. Also, it meant that as a reward, I would let myself chat to people afterwards, like for a Q&A or just a random sort of chat. And that kind of has given me, I've allowed myself the space now to be creative for over a year. And let me tell you, it's interesting. It's so interesting. And I would now actually consider myself a creative person, which is wild to me to think about, which maybe from the outside, you just think, what's wrong with you? Of course you're a creative person. But honestly, I just never thought I was. I just thought, you know, I'm just here. I just do a job. That's it. Like, I love my job. I love it. I love it so much to the depths of my soul. But it's kind of, like I say, it's informed by other things. I'm just informed by other people's creativity, if that makes sense. So anyway, giving myself this space has been really interesting. The other thing that has been even more interesting is that when I have been playing and doing this sort of just free play, there's an audience there, which is weird, but it's good. I like it. I like sort of these extremities. I'm that kind of person. And on the whole, oh my God, the comments are wonderful. They're so sweet. We'll always have a chat. Like, the community that has kind of built itself around not just that free playing situation, but also this podcast, the live streams that I used to do from the studio recording, like Instagram, all those places, the community that has kind of arisen is just wonderful, and I love it dearly. I love connecting. I love seeing how everyone is, seeing what everyone's been up to. You know exactly who you are if you're listening right now. I love you to pieces. I love you. But anyway, the other interesting aspect, aside from all these wonderful people, is that I do get sort of like interesting comments. For instance, I had one a few days ago that said, you really should work on your timing. You're not even playing in time. Something along those lines. And that was so interesting to me because my number one rule as a drummer is and always has been since day one, literally your only goal is to keep time. That's it. Like, the end. If you're not doing that, you shouldn't be a drummer. And when I got this comment, I just thought, wow, this is awesome. I've broken the cardinal rule in my soul. And that is really, really cool to me. That is so freeing. Now, don't get me wrong, I ain't going to start playing with people and playing out of time. Nah, it's still my job. But when I'm allowing myself to just be free, I can do whatever I want. And the fact that someone pointed it out, I was like, this is brilliant. So then I obviously explained, I was like, yeah, I know. Isn't that cool? Like, this is just my free play time. Like, I get to do whatever I want. How awesome is that? So all these sort of peripheral benefits have come out. Because before, if someone had said that to me, literally a part of my soul would have died. I would have been ashamed. I would have been embarrassed. I would have been, just all these awful things and beating myself up and going, I'm never doing this again and running away and fearful and all that stuff. But instead I was like, cool, this is awesome. Like, I am truly being imperfect. I am being human. I am being creative. That's what creative is, I think. I think it's just kind of exploring and not being afraid. Or if you are afraid, you do it anyway. Like, I just think it's so brilliant. And I love that I was able to create a situation where I feel safe enough to be creative within that world, if that makes sense. In fact, an analogy that I like to liken it to is kind of like, okay, here's the analogy. And this is very specific. And if anyone has seen this show, please let's talk about it. Because honestly, it is my favorite thing I've ever seen and been a part of, I suppose. So there was this immersive theater experience called The Drowned Man. By a company called Punch Drunk. Now, this was on maybe 10 years ago in London. I know that they also had it on in New York. I have a feeling they did a version in Japan too, but don't quote me on that, I'm not sure. Anyway, this was an immersive experience. So basically, I went twice. Oh, I love this so much. It was in a building over three floors, I think. And there was this storyline going on. I'm still not sure what the storyline was. I don't care. It was brilliant. And basically you would follow around different actors. You would see what their storyline is. You know, maybe you go to a different actor and see what their storyline is. But also what was the cherry on top for me was that the set was so interesting and you could just go and explore. You could go look at, there was like this sort of like medicine cabinet type things, you can go and have a look at that. There was this dressing room where this clown was doing his makeup, so you could go and like just look in the drawers. Like, you could explore, and it was like being in a real life RPG, but again within this kind of safe space, these parameters that it was okay and you could just do whatever you wanted. And it felt so inspiring and so, it was wonderful. It was the most wonderful experience of theatre I've ever had. And if I could go back and do it 10 more times, I would. Side note, I followed the clown for a bit and he took me off to a caravan, to this other bit. We saw some dead horse. It was exhilarating. I loved it. It was, wow, what an experience. It was brilliant. But it was, to me, that's kind of a metaphor for, and I know that it's not a very good one because it's not very if you haven't been to an immersive experience like that, it's kind of hard to understand, maybe, I don't know. But that's the closest thing that I can sort of relate to what I did for myself in this free playing every day. It's kind of just creating that building of three floors and then just exploring within it. And for 30 minutes, just no matter what happens. And if it does mean that I just sit there and just stare into space for 30 minutes, fine. I apologize for the people watching. That will be very boring. It hasn't happened yet. There has been some horrendous playing, can I just say, but it's okay. I just accept it. It's like, well, that's today and tomorrow's another day. Let's see what happens then. It's a fascinating experience and exercise in being creative, connecting to my instrument every day and reconnecting with myself every day, because inevitably, no matter what your feelings are any given day, it's going to come out in your playing. It is, like, and again, unless you're playing professionally, then it's different. You know, a professional persona is something that it doesn't matter what's going on in your life, you should be able to do the job. That's my feeling on it, at least. So anyway, this last year has been a real lesson to me in how I actually am creative and how I've managed to create a situation where I allow myself to be. And again, it's just knowing that for me, I work well with goals and I work well with parameters. And if I don't have that, I struggle. I really do. If there's too many options, I am in a struggle bubble. and yeah, so I know this. And as you know, I also like looking retrospectively at stuff. And as I have done over the past year, I've realised actually I am incredibly creative. It's just not in a traditional musician sense necessarily. My creativity comes out in very different ways. So for instance, let's talk about if I'm doing a gig with someone. I say I'm about to go on tour and I need to learn some songs. Traditionally, in a creative sense, there isn't much there because the parts generally are done. They're recorded on an album, they're informing what I'm going to play, maybe there are live versions that I can reference. You know, there's all these things, there's all this groundwork that has already been done. The creativity has been informed by the artist or the producer or the writer or whatever the situation is, right? So on the surface, maybe it does not seem like there's room for creativity. But for me, there is, as it turns out. And again, I didn't realise that this was a creative process for me, but it is. And that creative process just comes with how I approach learning the songs. I create systems. I create a way to learn these songs so that I know them. They are in my bones. They are in my soul. I also have, I spoke about this a couple of weeks ago on an episode about stage presence, was it? Being present, not stage presence, being present, and how I lock into a song. And I do that by the lyrics and the story that's being told. I try and find synergy within my own life experiences and channel that into the song when I'm playing it. Or maybe I put myself in someone else's shoes to kind of like tell that story from their point of view, or maybe I adapt some of my own experiences and expand upon them, or, you know, just imagine what it, anyway, I create these scenarios in my head, these visuals that happen, these emotions that happen when I play these songs. And it's not a one and done thing. Every night I get into that state for each song, and sometimes it can be a roller coaster depending on how the set goes in terms of what songs are next to each other. Woo, it can be woo up and down. It's great, I love it. It takes a lot out of you, though, I will say. But that is actually a really creative process. I'd never have thought that it was until I started reflecting on this, and I just thought, oh yeah, no, that is creative. That is definitely creative, because I am creating these stories. I'm creating a way to connect, because that is important to me. So that's quite an interesting concept. Also, aside from just drumming, social media is a really amazing way that I get to be creative. And I know that a lot of people struggle with it, and I have, and I still do, and, you know, I'm very up and down with it. But I ultimately see all social media as a creative outlet and a place to experiment connecting with people. And when I started seeing it like that, it kind of freed me up. And there's a brilliant thing about social media that I think a lot of people find very they may see it as a negative aspect of social media, but I find it very liberating. And that is this idea that social media is so disposable. it's so quick and instant, and you know, you see a post and it's gone and you never see it again. Now, I understand that some people, when they're creating stuff on social media, you know, there's hours and hours and hours of stuff, work that goes into one post. And the idea of it being that disposable is a real kick in the guts, because it's of value to you. Like, it's very valuable. Now, I agree with you if you feel that way. And I think it's about finding the correct platform for that kind of content that is kind of very artistic. It's very, like, I don't know, I find it hard to express what I mean, but I think different platforms are good for different things. In the same way, for instance, this platform is great for podcasting because people can reference it again, they can search, they can come back to it anytime. I think that's really interesting. But if you look at platforms like, say, Instagram or TikTok, it's very much not that. That is not how it's set out. It's much more disposable. It, like I say, you scroll, you see something, you like it, maybe you like it, maybe you even comment, and then you keep scrolling, you probably never think about it again. Or you scroll and you don't even notice stuff. You're just scrolling, you're doom scrolling. So it's just like, you know, it's very transitional. Now, where I find this liberating is that that means that I get to explore and I get to be creative with not much fear, because it just means, you know, it just, the world keeps turning and people keep scrolling, and if it connects with a few people, great, but it's not a big deal if it doesn't. I'm just going to keep putting stuff out there and keep experimenting and keep showing up and keep showing myself, and the people that it does resonate with, they will be in touch, and they have been and they are. And like I say, the community that has been created through my various social media platforms is wonderful and beautiful, and I love it. I love it to pieces, but it is a very creative process for me, and I really enjoy it. I really, really do. And obviously there's extra benefits with that in terms of things like Drumstem Club. That's a wonderful one for me, because not only do I get to play and record and I get to be creative in what I'm putting out there, I get to give back to the community, which is great and a massive, massive thing that is very important to me. But also I get to sort of like try out different sounds in the studio, which is really useful for sessions that I do for artists and stuff. So that's, I'm sort of keeping on top of my game. I'm always trying to learn extra things. I'm always trying to make everything just a little bit better every time. And again, I think that comes naturally with creativity. It's the same with my free playing. Every day it gets a little bit better. Even if it feels like it's getting worse, it's not. It's just maybe, I don't know, building that foundation. And even if it's not visible, I know down the line, it's so visible. I've seen it. I have evidence where you look back and go, my God, that was rusty. And then, you know, a year later, it's like, wow, there's flow to that now. Like, that's just happened. And it's not because I've consciously gone, I want to do this. It's just, I'm just going to do it and see what happens. It's the same with social media. It's the same with this podcast, you know, and with Drumstem Club and everything that I do, really. It started out as an idea. And then I just started doing it. And then things just evolve naturally. And it does take time and it does take energy and it does take commitment to the creative process, even though it may not seem like it's a creative process. Like, it is. It absolutely is. And that also obviously has extended, as I say, like, to my own projects. And again, I probably didn't naturally see them as a creative endeavor, but they've become that. So the studio, recording for people remotely, that has become, like, it's a business. Now, on paper, a business should not be a creative place. To me, massively creative. I am fascinated by it. I love it. I feel like I'm like Sherlock Holmes, just like always trying out new things. And, you know, even things like marketing, which most people would be like, oh, that's so dull. I love it. I think it's so interesting. Like, just creative copy, you know, as I say, social media marketing, fascinating. The psychology behind marketing, oh my God, unbelievable. Fascinating stuff, all very creative to me, and just exploring. And again, it's those parameters, it's the parameters of my business. And that's fine. Like, it's so fascinating to me. It's so fascinating to me. Also things like I'm currently creating, I'm about to go and teach on the Drummers Odyssey Camp in Bristol. In fact, when does this come out? The 30th. So yeah, in just under 2 weeks time, in fact, 2 weeks today, I will be teaching on the Drummers Odyssey Camp. And so that's a 2-day drum camp. There are three teachers. So me, Matty Brown, who I love, and Joss Nickel, who I've not met yet, but I'm sure that I will love. And we're going to be teaching over these 2 days, three classes a day. And I've been sort of like thinking up concepts of things that I want to talk about and teach and all of that. That is so creative to me. I just love it. It's so good. And whether it's that kind of situation or creating a masterclass or a clinic or a performance for something, I thrive on it. I love making it a thing, if that makes sense. Not just playing, like, oh, I'll just play a couple of songs. No. I want it to be a fully cohesive idea, and there needs to be a journey that happens. And again, sometimes it kind of works, sometimes it has not worked. Sometimes it seems very abstract to people, and that's fine. Sometimes it really connects with people, and that's fine. Like I say, it's an ever-evolving process for me. Like, I've done a fair few masterclasses and clinics and gone into schools to talk to music students and all that sort of stuff. And every single one of those moments has been a slightly tweaked version or a completely different version from anything I've ever done before. And that keeps it creative and fresh to me and interesting. And I just, I can't express enough that creativity is not just about playing an instrument. Or if you're like an artist, say, it's not just about painting or drawing or, I don't know, songwriting or whatever you're doing, whatever it is that you're doing. Yeah, it's so much bigger than that. It can be, I suppose. It's whether you want it to be. I also find creativity in stuff like cooking, in all honesty. Like, that's the thing. It's just, you can find creativity everywhere, and it's not this kind of, it's such a funny thing because it's such a narrow definition I had and yet broad at the same time. Like, it was only allowed to be via drums, but the concept of creativity is so vast and wide that you don't deserve that. You're not good enough to be creative. That's not you. You're just a jobbing drummer. That's your job and that's it. Do your job. You are not creative. That's what I used to tell myself. Honestly, please, please be careful about the things that you tell yourself, the stories that you tell yourself. It's not great. Not good. Well, it can be great, but just tell yourself a valuable story. So anyway, lastly, I just want to talk to you about where I might... or rather the process, the actual physical process of how I am creative in whatever I'm trying to do. I can cite literally what I'm up to at the moment, which is planning for this Drummers Odyssey Camp in Bristol in the UK, and my process for that. So first of all, as a general kind of inspirational kind of blanket, where I find my inspiration, generally speaking, for most things is through reading books, often they're business books, psychology books, productivity, peak performance, all that sort of stuff. I'm also doing a psychology degree, so that is kind of informing a lot of the direction that I go in and where my attention is and where my interest is. So I like bringing that to, like I say, I'm just talking about this this Drummers Odyssey Camp right now. Like, that is what I'm going to be bringing to the table. It's things within that, and obviously my own life experience, but that's where I find my inspiration for a lot of stuff across the board. And then also just through chatting to other people, obviously, that's always a good thing. Watching videos, listening to music, listening to podcasts. I love listening to podcasts. And they're nothing to do often with anything creative traditionally, if that makes sense. But it's things like, I think I've mentioned this recently, but there's two podcasts that I'm really enjoying at the moment. I'm kind of flick-flacking between the two of them. One of them is called Behind the Bastards with Robert Evans, who I always want to call Roger Evans, and I don't know why. Robert Evans, who is a journalist in the States, and he basically does profiles on different people or companies that basically are bastards in his mind, but he goes back and he he sort of looks into their background, their upbringing, their family history, and just, you know, how they got to that point. It's really fascinating to me. As you know, I love people's stories. I love hearing about people's life experiences and, you know, what leads people to act the way that they do, whether that's positive or negative. That's kind of irrelevant to me, but it's very interesting to me. Just human behavior, I find fascinating. That's why I'm doing a psychology degree, obvs. But yeah, and then the other one is We Can Do Hard Things by an author called Glennon Doyle. She presents it often with her sister and her wife, and she talks a lot about just the human experience again, and it's more on a personal level, and it just really resonates with me. I read one of her books called Untamed, that it just connected with me so aggressively, I think is the right word, because yeah, I'll share this at this point, but it's an interesting book, and the people that I know that have read it have all had different parts of it, different chapters that have really spoken to them. Now, not just on a sort of like gradual, like, oh yes, I understand. I'm talking like bursting into tears kind of level of connection to this book, and I have had that same experience. And the thing that I connected with was this chapter about her. So she is a recovering addict, and she was speaking about going to an AA meeting, and she was 6 days sober, and she spoke to the group. And she basically just was like, this is so difficult, and I hate this, and I hate feeling like this. And she realized that she'd been numbing all of these feelings, and sort of like, but now they were all right there on the surface, and everything just felt hard, and it felt painful, and all this stuff. And she basically just let it all out to this group. And the group carried on. And then at the end, this lady came up to her and just said, look, I know you're early on in your sobriety journey. I just want you to know that everything that you've said is correct. That's how you should be feeling. That is being human. You are meant to feel all of the feelings. Now, this might not sound like much to you, but this idea was a revelation to me. It was an absolute revelation to me. And I realized that I was not feeling all my feelings. Any negative feeling ever in my life that I was feeling, I would ignore it. I would divert attention. Now, I'm not, you know, I don't really drink. I do not use drugs. It's mainly because I have a vomiting phobia, if I'm honest. I won't go into that. But my coping mechanism was, and arguably still is, work. So this is a bit meta, this whole situation. But anyway, what I realized was that I, you know, where she was using alcohol to numb, I use work to numb. It's why I like staying busy. It's because it means that I can run away from the negative feelings, because to me, if I was feeling anything negative, it meant that I was failing. I didn't know that you're meant to just feel those feelings, and that's okay. So anyway, this chapter made me burst into tears. I thought I'd just share it because it might resonate with you. If you want to pick up that book and go and read it, I really would recommend it. But anyway, this is the podcast off the back of me reading that book. I sort of like looked it up, and really interesting, really, really interesting. And like I say, it's all very much to do with life experience. And this is something that informs me creatively, which may seem really unusual. Most people would say, oh, I listen to, you know, all this different music and da, da, da. Yeah, I do a bit of that. But honestly, the things that inspire me the most are people. Like, always, always have done. That's why I love talking to people so much. That's why I love doing my one-to-one coaching sessions. I love learning about you. I love helping you in your journey, and us working out how your brain works and how we can make that the most effective for you, and you can work to your strengths. You know, it's just a fascinating thing to me. So anyway, that is kind of a general inspiration blanket, if you like. But when I decide to actively get creative with all this in mind, because all those things just happen as by way of life. But the number one thing, well, there's a few things that I do, but this is my process at the moment, and it may change, you know what I mean? The first thing that I do is I get very silent. And if you know me, I know this sounds weird if you don't know me that well, but I'll let you into a secret. I love silence. I love it. I love solitude. I love my alone time. I love just being quiet. I know it's weird. I talk a lot. I play one of the loudest instruments on the planet. But one of my favourite things is just silence and just sitting still. So anyway, I get silent. And in saying that, I say sitting still. Actually, no, that's not true. What I do is I get very quiet. I try and remove any kind of input thing. So I'm not listening to anything. I'm not watching anything. Certainly not watching anything. And what I will do is I will start covering ground, is what I call it. And whether that means going for a really long walk or series of walks, or going for a really long drive. I love going for a long drive in silence. It is, I don't know what it is. There's something about covering ground, and also I think being preoccupied, like you're physically preoccupied with driving or with walking or whatever, it means that all I have is my brain, which is great. So, and then I just start percolating on whatever it is that I'm trying to get creative about. And it's often kind of not solving a problem, but it is kind of solving a problem. There's always a goal, there's a question. Like I say, unless it's a free playing thing where it's just here is 30 minutes, do whatever you want. Usually with things like the Drummer's Odyssey camps, like, right, what am I going to teach? What do I want people to know about? How do I want people to feel? How do I want them leaving these two lessons? Like, how can I inspire them? How can I give as much value as possible? These are the questions that I've asked most recently when I've been working this out. And I will just, often I will talk to myself. I will do voice notes to myself. I will write stuff down if appropriate. Obviously, if I'm driving, not so much. But yeah, and I will kind of like just let it flow and just see what comes out and question stuff. I mean, honestly, talking to myself a lot. I mean, I do not look very well sometimes when I'm walking in the woods. It's funny. I mean, I am who I am. So anyway, I will do this and I'll sort of get together a collection of thoughts, and then I will start writing, and not typing, writing on paper or on a tablet or whatever. And I will let it flow out of me, all the stuff that I'd kind of percolated about. And I can reference back the voice notes or the notes or whatever if I'm sort of forgetting anything, but I try to just sort of let it come out naturally. And this will be, as I say, writing. Sometimes it involves like drawings, because sometimes I see it as a spatial thing. I see it as a journey. There needs to be arrows involved, sometimes colours even. And so I kind of like just get it down on paper just so that I can see a visual representation, not just of the words, but the shape and the journey and the flow of what I'm trying to do, if that makes sense. Probably doesn't. It's okay. And then from there, I try to get it into some sort of order. So then I'll go onto my computer, I'll open up a spreadsheet, I will break down every step, every element, every part to what I've decided I want to do and everything that I need to do within that. And I just chunk it down basically into tiny, tiny steps that I can just tick off, and then I will get to work in actually realizing this and just gradually work through it and just spend a bit of time every day just getting stuff done. Obviously, this depends on when the end goal is. Like right now, as you're listening to this, it's 2 weeks away. So I would hope by now, pretty much everything's together and it's just about running it and tweaking it. So if you are coming to the Drummer's Odyssey camp, you can give me some feedback and see how I did on my creative process and if I actually managed to do what I set out to do. But yeah, and then by the end of the time that you kind of get through that list, then you have the thing, you have the finished product. And I think I first learned about properly like drilling down on that concept was I think it was when I put together my remote recording business course, which is the course that teaches the business side of running a business, running a remote recording service business. It was just necessity. It was like, right, I sort of like brain dumped all of my stuff that I wanted people to know about how I run my business, and then sort of like just put it in some sort of order, work out how I was actually going to teach that and express that and just kind of like give as much value as I could. But it just all ended up in this kind of like spreadsheet essentially. And all I did was just kind of just tick stuff off, right? Film this video today and I'm just going to edit that video, upload it there and then do all the peripheral material. And, you know, and then it was about the marketing of it and the lead up to it being released and da 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 da. So again, it might not sound very creative, but I tell you what, it feels creative. It feels really creative. And as I say, I work well with goals and parameters. I don't work well with just open space and just go. I tell you what, here's another thing. I realise that I'm like this in life too, right? So once I went walking in, where was it? Was it Dartmoor? Maybe. So I go walking a lot. I love walking. But I love walking when there's a path. Partly because I get lost a lot. My sense of direction is terrible. I am the person that needs breadcrumbs. I am the person also would use breadcrumbs and definitely get lost. But anyway, once I went to Dartmoor and was faced with this open space to walk on, but it had no like walking paths. It had no nothing. It was just an open space. And I was frozen. I didn't know where to go. And then when I started walking, I felt so uncomfortable and vulnerable and just not in a good way, like I was afraid. I was afraid. I just suddenly felt so small and like at any moment I could die, which it sounds so dramatic, I know, but it's how I felt. I was like, I don't like this. I don't like not having something to inform what I'm up to. And like I say, in terms of work, if I'm not being informed by someone that's employing me, I now know that I can inform myself and be creative within confines of that. So I think it's really interesting. And well, I think it, maybe you don't, I don't know, but yeah, maybe something to explore. And I think more than anything, just work out, like, what, think about how you work and when you thrive in what you're doing, and then maybe transfer it to places that you maybe want to get better in or just improve upon. Because there's always somewhere that we can all be improving upon. My goodness, I have loads. The biggest thorn in my side at the moment that I cannot work out, and I've been thinking about this for years and I can't work it out. I've tried so many things. I'd love your input actually. That is staying on top of emails. I am terrible. It's embarrassing. I've gotten slightly better, but honestly not difficult because I'm so bad at it, and I can't work out a way to make myself do it because I really don't like it. I find it really hard. In fact, is it that I don't like it? No, it's not that. I actually love it because it means I get to connect with people, but I find it difficult because it takes a lot of energy. And it's energy that I'm happy to expend, but it's just energy that I don't always have. Oh, I don't know. I try to set parameters for it, but it just isn't working yet. That's going to be the golden ticket for me. If I can work out how to do emails well, I think I need to get creative with it. That's what it is. And I'm trying. Anyway, if you have any ideas, please do let me know. You can write your answers down on a postcard and send them to Free Post. No, I'm joking. Anyway, right. I have done enough rambling for you today, I think. If you've enjoyed this episode, please feel free to like, share and subscribe. If you'd like to support this podcast past that point and go the extra mile, you now can over on Patreon. So you can go to patreon.com/EmilyDrums. And if you sign up there, I do things like Zoom hangs. You can also suggest any subject topics if you'd like me to cover anything in particular. And yeah, you will have my undying gratitude as well. I don't know whether that's worth anything to you, but yes. I really am so grateful if you are already over there supporting this podcast. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. It just means everything to me. So yes, and if you want to see anything else that I do in life generally, you can go to emilydrums.com. Everything's over there. But yeah, anyway, I hope you're having a lovely day wherever you are, whatever you're up to, and I will see you next time for another subject. All right, lots of love. Bye.
coming.